We're back with Heather Boucher. Heather, Donald Trump gave a speech earlier in the week to the Detroit Economic Club in Michigan, where he railed, predictably, against your former boss, Joe Biden. He attacked Jerome Powell. He had then had various detours on myriad other subjects, as you can imagine. But the main theme that he wanted people to take away from the speech was that the economy is doing great. Everything's going completely fine.
There's never been, we're not 12 months, we're through 11 months. We've got $18 trillion being invested in our country. The most of any country ever was three. We're at 18. There's never been anything like this. You are so lucky I allow you into this room to even be with me. I'm kidding.
Is he right? Is the U.S. economy doing fantastically well?
I would say lackluster. You know, we have prices that remain higher than the Fed's preferred rate. Grocery prices remain far higher than other prices across the economy. So people are really seeing those higher prices when they go food shopping. It continues to be a problem. Healthcare costs have been going up or can continue to go up. So I think that that anxiety around prices is going to continue. And then, of course, we've seen in terms of the job market, the pace of job creation is about a third of what it was this time last year. Now, Trump is lowering the number of workers in the economy with his immigration policies. So maybe we don't need as many new jobs, but that, too, is going to slow growth. And then even in some of the places where Trump has said, oh, I'm going to make a big difference. I'm going to create a new manufacturing, you know, revitalization. You've actually seen manufacturing jobs fall. You haven't seen the promised investment. So we're not in a recession, that we're, you know, that is not where we are at this moment. But we are certainly not in a good economic place.
Those are the facts. Then there's this question of the perception and how Americans feel. He says the numbers are unbelievable, which is actually maybe not how he means the word to be used. Do Americans, in fact, believe him when he tells them it's going well, or are they feeling something different?
Well, what you see in the polls is that people report a lot of negativity. Confidence is down. People are worried about price gains in the future. People are worried that jobs won't be there in the future. Young people are worried, and people, you know, that have kids that are entering that labor market are worried about being able to find a job. So there's a lot of concern out there in terms of what the economy looks like moving forward.
It doesn't sort of help the perception point, certainly in terms of the administration looking as if they're in touch, when you have the Agriculture Secretary, Brooke Rollins, whose response to Americans struggling to buy food is to say, well, they're not doing it right.
While we're asking Americans to reconsider what they're eating, are we actually asking Americans, especially those who are living on the margins, are we asking them to spend more on their diet? And the answer to that is no. We've run over 1,000 simulations. It can cost around $3 a meal for a piece of chicken, a piece of broccoli, you know, corn tortilla, and one other thing. And so there is a way to do this that actually will save the average American consumer money.
I see you shaking your head there. Is that in disbelief at the kind of slightly Marie Antoinette vibe of that?
Americans are certainly, you know, they're smart. They understand the connection between the different kinds of policies that the president has been putting on the table, and they can see it showing up in their grocery prices. And they know that the president, I mean, the president doesn't care. He's not he's rich. What does he care about what's happening with their grocery prices? And I think the lack of attention to that, and, you know, he himself said in the spring, if a recession happens, it doesn't matter. You know, he said, oh, people don't need as many toys. You know, it did have that sort of Marie Antoinette feeling to it, that he doesn't understand that millions of American families live paycheck to paycheck. You know, I think that that disconnect is starting to ring true for people.
Now, our focus, as the name of the podcast suggests, is always going to be the politics. Donald Trump arrived in office riding this wave of economic discontent. The numbers suggested people favored him to handle the U.S. economy. Last month, Donald Trump's approval rating on the economy hit the new low of just 36%. He's underwater on that issue. Polling also shows a lot of Americans say that they are struggling to make ends meet. I remember, and I think we may even have talked about it, that your former boss, Joe Biden, often seemed not to get the gap between the figures, which sometimes were good, and the feeling people had about the economy and how important the economy would figure in the 2024 election. On the politics of this, do you wonder if Donald Trump is perhaps making the same mistake all over again as we head towards midterms in November? Is he underestimating the economic pain that is felt in the country and the political salience of that pain?
If my reality is bad and you're trying to tell me it's good, that's a really difficult message. Now, if my reality is good and improving, but I'm kind of cranky about it because I don't like you, that's a messaging problem that we should have been able to get over that one, right? But convincing someone that their conditions are actually good when they aren't, that's a much bigger problem. And I think, honestly, it's a bigger problem for the Republican Party because you now have this disaster economy that President Trump is creating. And that's going to redound on the Republican Party because they're the ones not standing up to him.
Heather, as you know, we do always like to ask a what else question on the podcast, something different. We've been talking about the domestic situation, the economy, for most of our conversation, but the world is in waiting mode yet again to see what Donald Trump will do on something much further away, how he responds to the brutal crackdown that we've witnessed on protesters in Iran. As we speak on Thursday afternoon, the signs are that Trump is pulling back on that earlier threat to strike the country because he says that the regime has told him that the killings have stopped. Now, we don't know if that's a sort of feint, a deception, or if he has genuinely accepted Tehran's word for it. Earlier, he had told the protesters, help is on the way, keep going, I'm going to be with you. Whatever happens one way or the other, and we don't know as we speak, I wonder what you make of Trump's differing views on protesters in Iran versus protesters in America, like those we saw in Minnesota just in the last week or so.
The president posted this on Truth Social saying, quote, if the corrupt politicians in Minnesota don't obey the law and stop the professional agitators and insurrectionists from attacking the patriots of ICE who are only trying to do their job, I will institute the Insurrection Act. Trump goes on to say that, quote, that would quickly put an end to the travesty that is taking place in that once great state.
What do you make of that comparison, that contrast?
Yeah, I am glad that you made that you brought the two together because it has been very difficult to watch the president talking about protesters in Iran, where the situation looks very, of course, challenging and horrible, but watching our own government overseeing, you know, a situation in Minnesota and around the country where violence is being used against the American people. And it is the foundation of a democracy that people have the right to raise their voice and to be able to feel safe in that and to know that they have the right to do so. And this president has demonstrated that he does not believe in the importance of that. And that is undermining democracy here in the United States. So it doesn't surprise me that he would back down from commitments to folks abroad. But it's just been very difficult to watch this year.
Heather Boucher, thank you so much for joining me on Politics Weekly America.
Thank you.
And that is all from me for this week. As we mentioned, we are watching closely what is happening in Iran and any U.S. intervention that might come. Our colleagues on Today in Focus have been covering what it's like on the ground in Iran throughout this week. So do make sure to search for Today in Focus wherever you're listening to this or on YouTube. And when the bombshell news broke on Thursday that the Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch had sacked Robert Jenrick from the shadow cabinet and from the Conservative Party, my colleagues, John Harris and Kieran Stacey, were just about to press record on their podcast. For all the latest on the Jenrick affair, search for Politics Weekly UK wherever you listen to your podcast. But for now, it's goodbye. The producer is Danielle Stevens, the executive producer, Maz Ebtahaj. I'm Jonathan Friedland. Thanks, as always, for listening.